You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2011 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the exhortation from the memorial service held on Sunday, July 24th, 2011. The speaker is Randy Davenport, and the subject is What Have You Learned?
Well, this is for all the teachers. Gloria? She said it better be riveting tonight. So, listen up. Several years ago, a Christadelphian, a real close friend of mine, made a habit of call. He called me a few years in a row, right after the new year. And he asked me this question that I'm asking everyone tonight. What is the most important lesson that you have learned this year? Of course, we're only in the seventh month. We'll be eighth soon. But it still applies. What is the most important lesson you have learned this year? So what I decided to do is I did a poll. I've been asking a broad range of people this very question, and I want you to ask yourself this very same question. What is the most important lesson that you have learned this year? As I discussed this question with my daughter, she said, you know, that'd be a great question to put on a blog. Well, if somebody wants to volunteer to help me make a blog, then we'll do it. You know, life is a process of growth, where we're always learning something new. Some of us might remember our former days, and teachers, I'm sure, are good about this, and parents. When their children would come home, they would ask you, what did you learn at school today? Let's hope you asked your children that question. When they come home from Sunday school as well, you know, what have they learned? We're always inquiring of each other's minds. What have we learned? So as I did, I thought about this. I said, well, I'm going to present this question to as many people as I can in 2 weeks, and the ones that will volunteer answers, then I'll share them with you. The first person I asked, I said, okay, what is the most important question, the thing you've learned this year? And they said, work hard and retire early. Well, that works for some people. I called this person in my mind the ant, and we'll tell you more a little bit why. The second person I met that I asked this question said, embrace the emotions of others, both good and bad. I thought that was a very thought-provoking answer or response. The third person I asked, and keep in mind, these people were, and we can talk about it later, some are Christadelphians, some are not. So you cannot even, I'm telling you, determine who they are by the responses. I can share it with you later. The third person responded like this. Oh, that's important. It's not difficult to make a difference. This person's opinion was is that in your life, what you need to do is make a difference in the way you live your life. The fourth person said, I've learned this. I'm not in control. God is. We need each other, and we need to learn to accept the help from other people. The fifth person said this, and this one was quite extensive. Really, this could be almost three answers. He was quite verbose, but I thought I would try to present it as close to as the person that presented it to me. And their response was, I've learned how to follow what the master planner has for me to do. I've learned to pray for guidance, to accept God's path for me, to let His will be done, to learn how to receive His blessings and move on. And then I began to wonder, are things just a coincidence? Or is that called providence? That was one response. The next person said, look for the blessings while you are going through tribulation. It's not the exact word they used, but I thought that would be the most fitting one tonight. But look for the blessings while you are going through tribulation, to be patient and wait for it. The seventh person said, you know, I should have saved more in good times. So this one is the, let's say, the other side of the coin of the ant, not taking the good advice. The eighth person said, they learned that we are all connected. Now, when I heard this one, because I'll share with you, I think we all can agree with so many of these things. Hopefully, we've learned some of these lessons on our own at different points in our life. This one came to me as well when I saw the movie Avatar. I don't know how many people have seen that, but it made me think of the lesson that that movie was trying to teach, that as humanity, we are all connected. Then you take it to another level, as brethren in Christ, we are connected even farther. The ninth person said, don't lend money to relatives. Of course, we call that lesson 24. Only lend what you can be willing to give. The tenth person said, fear prevents people from becoming who they really are. Fear. The 11th person said, patience. I thought I had more of it until I was faced with a situation. The 12th person said, it seems good. If it seems too good to be true, then it is. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And the final one I'll share with you, so we'll make it an even 13, right? Take time to smell the roses and don't overlook the little things, because one day the little things will become the big things. There's plenty of food for thought in all these answers. Some of the answers focused on man and some of his own personal needs or his desires. Some of them focused on the welfare of others. Some of them focused on God. Some of them focused on their relationships with each other and God. Whichever way we think about these questions and the answers, it's interesting to realize that we all learn in different ways. How we come to conclusions is usually based on our education and our experience. Hopefully, and this is about as negative as it gets, that we never fall into the category that 2 Timothy 3:7 says, is that we are ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I'm sure most of you have heard this question in the workforce these days. Which do you have? 1 year of experience, 10 times over, or 10 years of experience? This question, I think, can apply to a lot of different people in different aspects of their life. Whether we're talking about work, family life, religion, or any type of learning. So the question still stands for all of us. What is the most important lesson that you have learned this year? Now, most of the people I asked this question had to stop and think about it for a minute, as you can tell from some of the answers I received. I have found it to be true in most of the cases that most people experienced a little discomfort when they were experiencing this growth. So, I'd like to ask, as you ask yourself this question as well, I'd like you to ask yourself a second question. When I learned this lesson, when I thought about what is the most important lesson I've learned this year, was it painful? Did you experience any discomfort? Did you consider it punishment or chastisement? Did this lesson affect your relationship with others? Did this lesson affect your relationship with God? Were you angry when you learned this lesson, or were you happy? Were you prepared to change? So you might ask yourself, okay, why is he focusing on learning? And what does that have to do with the memorial service? Well, we're not going to deal with the Philippians chapter 4. I hope you're not disappointed. But it was a great touchstone to start off to get our minds focused in the right direction. I think as we consider learning in the process of how we learn and the life's experiences we have, there's probably more we can attribute to learning with Christ in the memorial service than we give credit. As I reviewed these answers that I received, it caused me to think about some of the things that I've learned and how that has affected my relationship, not only with God, but with other people. So I asked myself the question, how is my relationship with God? How is my relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I let other relationships get in the way of my relationship with God and Christ? So here's some questions we can all ask ourselves. How is my relationship, let's say, with money? And many of the answers you saw were probably focused on that. Food. I love food. Somebody presented a proverb, a Japanese proverb at dinner tonight. It's pretty appropriate. Entertainment. What is our relationship with entertainment? What is our relationship with work? What is our relationship with our family? What do we put first? What do we put second, third, fourth, and so on? Luke chapter 12, 31, I think we're all familiar with these verses, this particular verse, tells us, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know, when I asked the one person, and he stated that, of course, his reason for saying fear prevents people from becoming who they are, I'll share in a minute what I think what it meant to me and what it meant to him was totally different. He's an athlete. He runs marathons and triathlons, and through getting a coach, he realized that he was able to overcome so many barriers that he was fearful about in his own relationship with athletics, and he was able to do greater things than he was ever to do before. Think about that, and we put that in relation to Christ and God, which we know can strengthen us to do almost anything. As I collected this data, it began to dawn on me that I was gathering this information to one question. What is the most important question that I have learned in my life? I was really seeking answers to questions in my own life, trying to use other people as vehicles to come up with some logical conclusions. I asked myself, well, I should know this by now. I'm old enough. What is God's purpose with me? And have I been listening to Him enough? Have I grown closer to Him? Or am I still the same place I was 10 years ago? I learned by asking this question to other people that it gave me an opportunity to talk to them about their lives and the things that they put their faith in. I'd like to share some of the conclusions that I came through this experience. Plus, also, it gave me an opportunity for dialogue. Most of the people I talked to wanted to know why I was asking this question and for what purpose. So when I explained it to them, most of them were like, "Hey, whenever you get done, I want to read it." So we're not done with this. So here's what went through my mind when I combined all of the thoughts of these people that came to me that I think God provided in a sense to maybe remind me of some of the great blessings that He has showered on us as brethren of Christ. God wants us to be like the ant. Yes, that's right, like the ant. Proverbs 30, 24, and 25 tells us there are four things which are little upon the earth, but exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. Ants are good stewards of what God has given them, and they work together for the good of the colony. What a great lesson in unity. God also wants us to be a brother's keeper. And this also means that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is one very practical way that we can embrace the emotions of others. Romans 12:15 tells us to open our heart and to rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep, no matter how hard it may seem at times. And we are commanded to do this especially with those of the body of Christ. This requires us to be very meek and have a humble spirit, one that is submissive to the will of God. So when we come to realize that God is in control and not us, that everything happens for a reason, not just by coincidence, and then our life begins to take new meaning. Even then, as we put our trust and faith in God, we realize that we are still weak. This leads us to prayer, for prayer strengthens us and gives us guidance and patience and help to receive the blessings of God, that we may grow in grace. But we are still not done. Fear sometimes overwhelms us, and it stifles our growth, even to the point of keeping us from that ultimate potential of being in the kingdom of God. But with the help of prayer and the love of our brothers and sisters, we are able to overcome any obstacle, and faith can begin to have its perfect work. 1 John 4:18 tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." So as we try to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we may find it difficult at times to make a difference. It takes patience, the patience of Job, as we say sometimes, to learn what true fellowship is made of. I think this is why Philippians 4 really stood out to me so perfectly for this subject tonight, of what we have learned. Well, you can just make it dots after that. The patience of Job to learn what true fellowship is. This is why the memorial service should be so important to us. Our fellowship with God and each other would have little value, if none, if Jesus Christ were not in the picture. So what we have learned from Jesus Christ is so very important. I'd like with you to follow with me, if you would, on a few verses that will help emphasize that point before we turn our attention to the emblems. First, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Just a few verses here. Matthew 11, verses 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, if we think back to those verses that were read in Philippians, he talked about yoke fellows and yoking, and, you know, I don't have much of a concept of that. I've seen animals yoked, I think, twice in my life. And, you know, we know the concept. And maybe we don't think about it as much as we do, but we know the concept that there's two animals yoked together, usually equal, oxen or horses or whatever the yoking is to be. Jesus Christ has offered us to be yoked with him. I don't know if we really grasp the concept of that many times, of what a blessing that is, in a sense, of Jesus Christ has given us that opportunity to be yoked with him. What have we learned this year? What is the most important lesson we have learned? Matthew 9, verse 13. "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Jesus taught us He taught everyone he came in contact with what it was to exercise mercy and justice. He has given us the opportunity to be yoked with him, to do this and to practice this. And the man we come here to remember today did this better than anyone. Did he suffer during this process? I think we can all agree that yes, he did. But did he have joy because of the great prize that was set before him? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 5 reminds us of some of the things that he went through and how he learned and how we learn as brethren of Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him, called to be an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing we are dull of hearing. Jesus Christ has suffered many things in order to bring salvation to this world, but yet he did it joyfully, in order that he might save his brethren and all those that would come unto him. We have a brother in our meeting that makes mention of this in his prayers often, and I guess I didn't pay attention to it much in the past. And as I started collecting some of this data and started reflecting on some of the things that Jesus has tried to teach us through his very life, he mentions something each time we come to the memorial service that I think is very notable. When he prays, he says, God, we thank you for this time of blessing. You know, if we really feel about that way and it's truly a blessing, then why would we want to miss out? This is the greatest blessing that we can ever have, and we should want to share it with everyone, and we should want to be here and share it with Jesus each and every week. I'd like to reread a few verses from Philippians chapter 4. Before we remember our departed Lord and what he has done for us. Paul told the Philippian brethren, I'm going to start at verse 4. To rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.